The Free For All Roundtable.
Round two.
On round two today, we say good morning to Richard Krause, host of the podcast Last Call with Richard Krause. Robert Benzie is here, Queen's Park Bureau Chief for the Toronto Star. And Sunira Chaudhry is an employment lawyer at Workley Law. And I got an invitation. You've got some spanking beautiful new offices, apparently.
Yes, John, we finally, we've built out a nice space at Workley, and so we're revealing it in a couple of weeks. I'm hopeful and happy for you guys to be there and check it out.
Well, looking forward to it, and you can honestly say now that you're a Bay Street lawyer, so there you go. Okay.
Thank you.
Where to start? Maybe we can start, actually, the Minister of Transport was here at 8:05 this morning and made a pretty good case to perhaps salve the anger of Robert Turner and others about why the Up Express is going to skip two stops every other train. He said, yeah, but we're laying on GO trains that are going to stop at those stops. So I'm sure you've had a chance to take a look at this. Robert Benzie, does he make a good enough case that this is not actually a cut?
I don't understand this move at all, John, to be honest with you, because I take Up Express to the airport. It's the fastest way to Pearson, but I get on at Bloor, which I'd be more worried, actually. I mean, Dundas West Station is still not attached to the Bloor Up Station. It's ridiculous. Metrolinx and the TTC couldn't organize, you know, a two-car funeral. Anyway, so I don't understand, though. I mean, the express train from Union to Pearson, great. It would save you maybe 2 or 3 or 4 minutes. It doesn't stop for very long in Weston or at Bloor. And it's used by so many people. It's a great addition to our transit network, and we need it. Thousands of people work at Pearson every day, and a lot of them live get off the subway at Dundas West. So this just makes no sense to me, cutting service in half, basically, so that, you know, it'll be every half an hour instead of every 15 minutes for a train. I don't agree with it, and I think it's a foolish move.
Yeah, Richard Krause, there was some griping when it was originally open, and people said, why? I thought this was going to be an express train, but we've got two stops. You've turned it into a milk run. But I've used it numerous times. It's not that big a deal. I don't mind those stops.
It's not that big a deal. Those two stops are brief. It's fast. It's convenient. I have a feeling that the deleted trains will be brought back. Just as, you know, when the Up first started and it was $20 or $25 to get out to the airport, and they realized, hey, no one's using this thing, because if two people were going, it was essentially the same price as taking a cab or a limo, or almost the same price. So I imagine that there will be an outcry about this, and those trains will be back in service before too long.
Yeah, Sunira, it does seem that there's a level of improvisation at all levels whenever it comes to transportation.
Yeah, John, and you know, this, the Up Express is actually something that the city has done right. People are using it, and nobody, I haven't met a single person who's complained about how long it takes. If, in fact, everybody talks about how quick it is to get from the heart of the city to the airport, and nobody has mentioned, oh crap, but we got to stop a couple of times on the way. It's so quick, it's so fast, it's so much cheaper. And the fact of the matter is, people have moved out of the city closer to those stations, and so they certainly rely on it. The platforms are packed, it's well used. If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Exactly.
Okay, well, maybe the right people are listening. Peel District School Board added NACBA Day to the school calendar. And Richard Krause, they say it's not an action item. It's not like teachers have to talk about it that day. But still, it's in the calendar. And for those familiarizing themselves with NACBA Day, it is basically a global day of mourning over the existence of Israel.
This is one of the rare times that I agree with Deb Hutton on things. And, you know, she was on earlier, I think on round one, and talking about this and saying, you know, if you look up the amount of days that the district school boards recognize, there's a list that goes on for pages and pages and pages. And while they don't quote unquote celebrate these days, they acknowledge them in some way. I say, why are we doing any of that? Schools are there, like, teach kids how to read, how to write, how to do math, you know, that stuff. That's what we have to concentrate on, not all this other stuff that ultimately doesn't mean that much.
Robert Benzie, you're probably more familiar with the way school boards comport themselves. I mean, they do often get quite political.
Yeah, no, they do. And also, they trip over themselves all the time. And we've had various over the years, John, we've talked on the show about when Christmas parties were canceled or decorations were removed because it was, you know, it was seen as a Christian holiday and it wasn't something that people wanted to mark because it might offend people who aren't Christian or whatever. This is one of these situations. I do not understand what Peel is thinking. NACPA Day is a contentious, controversial thing, and it is hurtful to a certain segment of the community. So why you would want this out there is beyond me. I'm all for celebrating our diversity and all these other things, but not at the exclusion of any other part of our society. I think it's a wrong-headed decision.
Yeah, Sunira, I think the reason some people might, you know, take up the cause is because they have very heady memories of having been part of the anti-apartheid movement. And for some reason, people have started treating Israel as if it was South Africa. And it's not really a fair comparison.
No, and I think especially given the current political climate, it is a very, very, of course, sensitive subject. And to politicize schools, especially in this climate, I think can in some ways be pretty, you know, almost dangerous. And so while I understand that school boards wanted to move away from just recognizing Christmas and Easter to recognizing other cultures, and I think in some ways that's been very positive, I think this has just tipped the scales. And we're now getting into sort of dangerous territories where we're really arguing about major political ideology through children, which is absolutely, you know, I think exactly on par with what Benzie said. It's just, it's absolutely wrongheaded.
And Benzie, not to cold cock you, but I will anyway. Do you have any any special insight as to how the feds and the province came to a deal on Highway 413? I mean, it almost seems like the feds just said, okay, we're not going to fight. Never mind.
Well, there've been lots of back channel talks, John, and this is this surprise announcement at 5 o'clock yesterday that Stephen Guibo, the environment minister, and Prab Sarkaria, who you had just had on the show, the transportation minister, had come to this agreement on basically this joint working group that they've struck that will look at the environmental concerns surrounding Highway 413, which is, of course, the 52-kilometer highway proposed between Milton and Vaughan, attaching the 400 to the 401. I think it's significant because it suggests that in the back channels between the Ford government and the Trudeau government, there's a lot of communication. And I think they know that politically, the 413 was a winner for Ford's Tories in the 2022 election. And those same ridings that were won by Tory MPPs, are held, many of them, or most of them, by Liberal MPs. So I think they know, the Liberals federally, know that this is probably an electoral winner, the 413.
All right. So cynical, but probably so true. What do we make? And Richard, I'll start with you on this one. Cam H now has a specialist who's introducing programs to ease anxieties amongst kids and teens about climate change. Does that make them almost literally special snowflakes, or is this an important effort?
I think it's an important effort. I mean, when you have kids who are unsure about their future, and apparently the concerns about climate change are among the things that weigh very heavily on young people and take up a great deal of space in their thinking boxes, you've got to do something about it. And I think that this is probably a good move. I don't know exactly what you can do to alleviate these fears that they have when, you know, clearly things are changing around them, but you can help at least get rid of some of this anxiety and help them free up some mental space to think about and worry about other things that might be a little bit more positive in their lives.
Sunira, some parents, I imagine, would say that maybe Greta Thunberg just needs to dial it down.
Well, you know, John, one thing that, and I agree with Richard here in that, I think the article that we read about this story, climate change, it did seem like that there was a bit more of a whiny tone to it. But I do think that when we look at the research and the survey, this is something that people, young people, are certainly concerned about. But I think it also feeds into youth not thinking they can buy a home. And let's be real here. we didn't have much of a winter this year or last year. I can say that my son hasn't experienced the snowy winters I did when I was young. You know, I spent most of my weekends tobogganing, building huge snow forts. My brother, that's a core childhood memory of mine. I mean, will kids today have that? I get this in a big way, the feeling of powerlessness. And how does one resolve that feeling? I think expanding that into mental health awareness is a really good thing.
Robert Benzie, I just remember my own childhood where I was worried about all sorts of things that did not matter. And I mean, climate change, you can't brush off. I was worried about tarantulas.
Well, you know, yeah. Well, John, though, you know, you and I are the same age. And what one of the things that was a big thing when we were young teenagers was nuclear war. Remember when that movie The Day After came out? Everyone was losing their minds about the possibility of Russia and the United States going having this nuclear war. And I remember in high school, we had this guy come in. I can't remember where he was from the U of T, I think. And he was telling us about mutual assured destruction, which was, you know, you don't have to worry about nuclear war because if one side launches it, the other side will blow up the world. And I remember thinking, this is really scary and upsetting. But I don't remember them saying, okay, we've got trauma counselors for you kids you can talk to now. But things have changed. And I understand there's a lot of anxiety around climate change. And to Sunira's point, kids today are experiencing a different climate than we did as children. So I have a lot of sympathy for them. I know with my own kids talking to them, they are concerned about pollution and greenhouse gas emissions and things like that, and what kind of planet they're going to, or their kids are going to inherit.
Well, and Robert Benzie, you did mention we're a similar age. So one of my other fears when I was a kid was I was going to be drafted into the army and sent to Vietnam. It never occurred to me that Canada wasn't actually in Vietnam.
I had that exact same fear. And growing up, because you saw it on the news the entire time, my parents were American, and I just figured they were going to come scoop up my brother and I, even though I was very young. I assumed that I was going to be sent to Vietnam.
Aww.
And it was terrifying to me.
That must have been terrifying. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I was also afraid of icebergs. I think we're going to have to call it there. Thank you. Good to have you all. Sunira Chaudhary, Robert Benzie, and Richard Krause.
Catch the Roundtable, round one at 7:45, round two at 8:45. Weekday mornings on More in the Morning. News Talk 1010, Toronto.